with me. Kings 18, 1 Kings chapter 18 this morning. Morning sky. She's on a mission with that money. Hope y'all found 1 Kings 18. Let me set you up what's happening here. There's been a 3.5-year drought, no rain. Been a famine in the land. And King Ahab wasn't a very good man. He didn't obey God's laws and rebelled. So there's a famine on the land, but there's a prophet still around. He killed most of the prophets, but there was one that wasn't killed, Elijah. God's always, you know, like I say, you can kill the messenger, but you can't ever kill the message. It'll go on and on and on. And so Elijah still was around, and he had a message for the people in this country. A message because they were worshiping the god of Baal. Baal was the god of fertility, the god of, well, fertility, and the god of growth, the god of making everything alive. And for 3.5 years, Baal hadn't answered their prayer. There was a famine. The land was dried up. And Elijah came to the people. We pick up in verse 21 right here. Elijah came to all the people and says, how long will you falter between two opinions? Now, that's very relevant for today, isn't it? How long will we falter between two opinions? Are we going to believe God or are we not? It's that simple. Are we going to trust God or are we going to trust someone else? So many people, turn me down just a little bit, Jeremy. So many people say they trust God, but when a crisis comes, when a situation comes, they can't resolve themselves, we go to every other avenue but God. God wants our full allegiance. You know, when you join the Marines, you join the Army, you join the Navy, you join the Air Force, they want your full allegiance. You're all in. They want everything of you. Gail was in the Army, right, Gail? And when your drill sergeant was your mama, he was your daddy. He was your brother and your sister. He was your third cousin on your uncle's side. He was everything to you. Like I was there. He was everything to you. And you know what? They wanted full allegiance. We will turn you into a soldier. I mean, they made Gomer Pyle a soldier. I mean, really, they can do wonders. We can do anything. You belong to us. Mama can't help you. Daddy can't rescue you. You belong to me. I am your best friend and your worst nightmare. And so they own you. They want full allegiance. God wants from his people full allegiance. Not allegiance based on situations. Not allegiance based on if our life's going good. Not situations of if all of our kids are great and there are no problems and our marriage is wonderful and the bills are paid and the job is there and I just got my new car and I got my new bike and all this is great and da-da-da-da. God wants our allegiance when things don't look so good. He wants us to trust him. And too many people waver. They waver based on situations. Now, this country was worshiping the god of Baal, which we know is a false god. And by the way, there are today many false gods. And just as a footnote, you may not know this, in the Hindu religion, they worship over 300 million different gods in the Hindu religion. They believe in one supreme being, but believe in other gods that were made from that being that they worship as well. And so there's a lot of confusion out there of who God is, but not to us as Christians, hopefully. We know who our God is. Elijah says, how long will you falter between two opinions? The Lord is God. Period. Follow him. But if it's Baal, follow him. Give him a choice. Who you going to choose? But they answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 400 and 50 men. I love when God stacks the odds. Remember the story of Gideon? I love Gideon. Oh, one of my favorite stories. Poor Gideon. He had to fight. And he says, okay, I got my army, Lord. No, you got too many. Got too many. You got to chew it on down. And he got them down to, a few hundred men against 150,000 of the Midianites. Says, now you got enough. No soldier in their right mind. If the drill sergeant told Gale, take 300 men, and you're going to fight 150,000 Iraqis, he'd be writing his death note. I leave in my will to my wife and my children all my earthly possessions because I'm about to be gone. But God had a plan. You know why God did that? So he would get the glory. See, God wants the glory, church. Man don't deserve the glory. God deserves all the glory. He wanted glory for this victory. He wanted all eyes to be upon him, not upon Gideon, not upon the army of Israel, not upon anybody, upon him. When we realize that all the glory and all the power belongs to him, then our lives will begin to change. So 450 false prophets against one little Elijah. Let's see who won this battle. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. Elijah make a decree. Give us two bulls, one for me, one for them. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And then I will prepare the other bull, and I'll lay it on the wood, and I'll put no fire under mine either. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Notice the difference here. Call on the name of your gods, plural, and I'll call on the name of my Lord, singular. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and says, it is well. They made a bet what happened. Elijah says, here's the deal. I'll do this. You do this. You call on Baal, I'll call on my God. And whoever answers us with fire on this altar, that'll be the true God. Do you agree to that? Yep, I agree, Elijah. So they made an agreement. Next verse. Now Elijah said the prophets of Baal. We already read that? Okay, looks like the same verse. All right, said, choose one bull for yourselves, prepare it first, for you are many. Call upon the name of your God, but put no fire under it. They took the bull which was given them, they prepared it, called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. I wonder why. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar, which they had made. Keep it there a minute, Brandon. So here they're calling on Baal from morning to noon. This kind of reminds me, church. I shouldn't say this. It's going to send a sting to some of us religious folks in here this morning. I don't know if I should say this or not. Might make Doc upset back here. Think about all the years that we beg God for stuff. Beg God. We would plead and beg and plead. And this verse kind of reminds me of that. Only we know we serve the true God. But God doesn't need begging and pleading. God just needs faith. Just believe in him. Just trust him. Too many Christians try to bargain with God. I've heard this. Lord, I promise. I was in the hospital with a guy one time years ago. He said, Pastor, I promise God. He was in a bad situation physically. I mean, bad. I promise God, Pastor, if he healed me of this, I'd serve him. Living the same way he always lived. You don't bargain with God. You serve him or you don't. You trust him or you don't. You believe him or you don't. You surely don't bargain with the Holy Lamb of God. They called on Baal all day, noon and all day. Oh, Baal, hear us, oh, Baal. But no one answered. You know why? Because there was no God or gods of Baal that were alive or were real. Only one God is alive. Only one God is real. And Jesus is his name. Our God has a name. Our God is not a fixed object. It's not a belly we rub. It's not a chant we decree. He is a living, resurrected Lamb of God who lived and who died and who rose the third day and now lives inside of us. That's the God that I serve, the one true God. There are not, church, to many people's discredit, I understand that God can call us from different ways of life. God can reach us from where we are, yes. But there is only one path and one way unto salvation. There are not many paths. There are not many ways. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. There's not other ways. The reason people want other ways is they just don't want to come to the cross for whatever reason. That cross scares people, man. Something about that cross, if I can just, you know, I believe in God. Like I said, our younger generation growing up with what we call spiritualism, you know, I believe in spiritualism and, you know, I meditate and I hone into the inner self. There's another word for that. It's called being high. Let's be real, church. I know the young generation. When you truly find Jesus, guess what? You ain't got to be high to hear his voice. You ain't got to be high to experience him. You can be completely sober and get the highest high of your life. Because there's no high like the power of the Holy Ghost. And this high doesn't crash you back down and make you feel bad about who you are the next day. This high goes with you and lives with you and remains with you. And this high elevates you above every other thing. It elevates you above all the doubts and above all the shame and above all the frustrations. It elevates you and keeps you above the fray because he is alive in you. And I'm thankful for that. They leaped around the altar. I mean, think about this. You know, leaping. Woo, Baal. Oh, holy Baal. Woo, 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 woo. Baal, 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 Baal. Baal, Baal. I mean, I don't know what they did, but they danced all around the altar. That's my MC Hammer dance, by the way. All right, next verse. And it was so at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. And you got to love Elijah's sarcasm. I mean, you talk about sarcastic. But see, when you know what you know, you can be this way. Like the old saying, ain't bragging if it's true, right? Elijah knew who his God was. Look what he says. Either he is meditating, maybe he's busy. He's on a journey. Or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. What does the Bible say about our God? We serve a God that doesn't sleep or slumber, right? Hallelujah. We serve a God who's never on a journey. Because our Bible says he's an ever-present help in our time of trouble. So God's always there. Then he goes on to say, he's not done yet, I don't think. Go to the next verse. I mean, he's already done. So they cried again, and they cut themselves. See, this happened long before this, what's that movement called? Emo movement came along. Y'all know what the emo movement is. These kids that cut themselves and wear a lot of black stuff. They cried aloud. And they cut themselves. Why did they do that? It was their custom. Part of their religious worship. Aren't you glad you're not them? They cut themselves with knives and with lances until the blood gushed. Try to make it very dramatic. Gushed out of them. So here they're crying, they're dancing, they're cutting themselves. They're begging Baal to hear them. Now midday was past. Probably getting pretty tired. And they prophesied till the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So all day up to this sacrifice, they've been chanting, dancing, calling, cutting. Nothing's happening. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. I like that. No one paid attention. Go ahead, next verse. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came to him. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down because all them, you know, they were all dancing and stuff, tore it up. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes, the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, even no more mechanical than I am of understanding things, I understand this. hard to light burnt wood. I mean, wet wood. Once I said that, it's hard to light wet wood. So Elijah's making a point here. He's going above and beyond. I mean, he's kind of like the Seth Curry, not shooting a regular three-pointer. He shoots one for 6 feet behind the three-point line. I'm making a point that I am the man. Elijah's saying, my God's going to show off so much, I'm going to up the stakes. You know, in poker they say, well, I don't know, I don't play poker, but, you know, something about, you know, are you in or out? And they say, I'll raise you. I don't know what that means. I always hear that expression on Westerns. I'll raise you $20 or whatever, and throw some chips in. Some of y'all were like, yeah, I can teach you, James. I don't want to know. Raise you $20. And so Elijah was raising the stakes. Not only was he going to keep to what he said he was going to do, but now he's saying, I want you to fill the trench with water, saturate the ground around the altar, and saturate the wood. Now let's see if God can overcome those obstacles. Then he said, do it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. I mean, man, he is just, can you imagine? It's kind of like, was it Reggie Jackson back in the day that pointed to his home run, went to plate one day? Was that Reggie Jackson back in the 70s? He walked up the plate and he went like that. That ball come in, boom, hit over the fence. Huh? Babe Ruth too, yeah, I wasn't alive then, but. I mean, you wasn't either, Joe. I know. But he caught it. Point the fence, caught. Here's what Elijah's doing. Watch this. Saturate it one time, saturate it two times, saturate it three times. I mean, he's making a point. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. I mean, any common person would think he's doing everything he can not to have a fire. There's no way that this fire can be on this ground. It's saturated with water, the trench, the altar, the wood, over and over. I mean, soaking wet. No way it's going to happen. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. That's a key. Doing things according to God's word. Not according to how we feel or our flesh, but what God says. Remember when the fishermen went in the sea, and God and Jesus said, lower your nets. And they said, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. Nothing out here. Nothing out here. But nevertheless, at your word, we'll drop the nets. And we know the rest of that story of the nets. At your word. So all these things, Lord, I've done at your word. Then he said, hear me, O Lord. Now, no difference in Elijah's prayer and all the other prayers of the prophets. They prayed all day, all night, danced, chanted, cut themselves. I mean, man, they were going ballistic trying to get Baal to hear them. But Elijah makes this simple prayer. I mean, it's just a few words. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That this people may know you are the Lord God. And that you have turned their hearts back to you again. That's his whole prayer. It's a lot simpler than dancing and cutting yourself all day, isn't it? That's all they did. This one 20, 25 word prayer. Elijah said to God. And look what happened. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And look what it says. It licked up the water that was in the trench. God completely, his presence, his glory, his power overshadowed that water that sucked it out of the trench and dried it up. God is all consuming, and he was all consuming at this moment, showing who he was. Now all the people saw it. They fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. How powerful that is, because you know why? Our God is alive. There is no Baal, there is no Muhammad, there is no Buddha, but there is a Jesus
who is very much alive inside of us. And he is the only God that is living, only God that rose the third day, the only God that created all things, this one name. And he's my God. And I'm glad he's not dead. We may feel he's dead sometimes because he didn't answer our prayers the way we want. So many people I've talked to, I prayed. You don't understand, Pastor, I prayed and God didn't answer me. Maybe he has answered you. He answered you in a way that, you know, you didn't plan, but he knows what's best for you. I say this many times. We need to hear this over and over. As parents, we teach our kids right from wrong because we love them. And Riley may say, hey, Mama, can I go over to Mary's house to spend the night? Melanie knows, her name's Melanie, I had to think for a minute. Melanie knows what's going on in that home. She's like, no, Riley, I don't want you going over there and spending the night. But why, Mama? Well, there's things, just trust me. It's not fair, Mama. You don't understand me, Mom. Everybody else goes over there, Mom. Trust me. You don't know. What's wrong? They live in a nice house. There's no danger. Both parents are going to be there. They're a happy home. They go to church, Mom. You don't understand. You just can't go. Poor Riley's like, why? Maybe Mama don't want to say why exactly. She don't want to sell out what's happening at that house. But she's like, just trust me. That's what God does to us. We pray for things. Sometimes we're like, you remember the Andy Gifford episode where that brat boy came to town riding the bike on the sidewalk, Opie's friend? And he was a brat, and he talked sassy, and he tried to teach Opie how to act to get his way. And Opie's in the middle of the courtroom floor when Andy says something, and he does this. You remember that? Does that bratty thing. Sometimes as Christians, that's how we are. Hey, got it. We don't do that, but we feel that way. And God is saying, you think that's going to move me? My Lord, you need help, son. I'm going to send you a psychiatrist to come by your house and knock and ring your doorbell. That's what I'm going to send you because you need some help. But we act that way instead of realizing that God is doing. I love Romans 8. It tells us specifically Romans 8. All things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. We are part of God's purpose. So I believe all things, even though there are some bad things that happen, out of those bad things, good results can be yielded out of that. And God knows that. So we got to recognize, just because we don't get a prayer answered the way we pray it, God, I want this job. Lord, I pray for it. We don't get the job. Maybe that wasn't a job we're supposed to have. God knew what was there, and God knew what was waiting ahead of you, and God had a better opportunity for you than you could ever have for yourself. See, we limit God with our prayers sometimes because we just limit God. We put God in his box still saying, God, you do what you want to do for me. I trust you. Surprise me. Kind of like if, you know, somebody says, hey, where are we going to eat lunch at today? Oh, I don't care. I'm buying lunch. Oh, just surprise me. Just take me where you want to go. Just surprise me. I'll go anywhere. Except don't go with Dad. He'll try to get you a kid's meal or a value meal. But, you know, anywhere else, go. Surprise me. That was years ago. That was funny. Dad's not really like that. We went somewhere one time. We went to Wendy's one time. We're sitting there. It was years ago. Me and Madeline kids. And Dad, we went to Wendy's at church or something. And Dad said, so you get anything you want off the value menu. He said, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. So I didn't let him live that down. But sometimes we're like, God, surprise me. You know what I need. You know what's best. So when we recognize that the Lord is alive and the Lord is working for us, the Lord's working through us, and the Lord is on our side. The Lord is on our side. He is not against us. He is for us. And just like a loving father or a loving mother protecting their children from things, and we did that with our kids, and we understand that a lot of homes aren't the right homes. And so a lot of time we told our kids no, or no, you don't be hanging around them, or no, don't do that. Because we knew things they didn't know. And we were trying to protect them. And it seemed unfair. Sometimes an unanswered prayer seems unfair. But if we see how much God loves us, God, you're not answering because you love me. And you see why, what I need. Next verse. Elijah said, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. They seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Now, that sounds harsh, but you know why they had to die? Because the law said they had to die. You go back to Deuteronomy, the law said, False prophets must be destroyed. So the law had to be fulfilled here. Next verse. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundant rain. 3.5 years, no rain. Now the rain's come. And you know why the timing was that way? Because I think now that the people seen who brought the rain. It wasn't Baal. For 3.5 years, he did nothing. But now they've seen the hand of God move. And as soon as they saw God move, now the rain comes. Telling them, I am the true living one God that is alive. Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to the servant, go you now, look up toward the sea. He went and said, there is nothing. 7 times he said, go again. Then came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. He said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime, the sky became black with clouds and wind. There was a heavy rain, so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Is that it in Kings? Okay. So the rain came after the presence of God showed up. Once everybody knew who really God was, God showed up. I've got a couple more scriptures I want to share with you. This is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth. By him, talking about Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created through him and for him. All things. All creation was created by the same one God. There's not separate gods. You know, there's been a lot of different teaching, a lot of different religion. I think everybody knows there's some kind of, even atheists know this, why they're so mad, because they know it. And they're mad about it. They're mad at themselves because they know it's true. But pretty much every language, every nation, every race, every country believes there's some kind of higher power than them. If you watch the old Western movie, remember that Native Americans, the Indians, they believed in a sun god, a moon god, water god, wind god, and they believed in a great spirit, and they called it the great hunting ground in the sky. They knew there was something. Well, the Bible tells us what that something is. It is this one Lamb of God that has been proven through many, many proofs other than the Bible, through many writings, documentaries, that Jesus did live and that Jesus did die. And for 40 days after he died, he rose 40 days and walked around town, showed himself off. It wasn't like he just came out of the tomb when nobody's seen him and just ascended to heaven. He walked around for 40 days. He walked around. People saw him. They seen the same Jesus that hung on a cross they knew was dead. And now they're seeing him alive. And they saw him ascend away. And in the upper room experience, he filled us with his precious Holy Spirit that makes us know we serve a living God. He is before all things. And in him all things consist. It's very, you know, I'm amazed how smart people can be so stupid. Smart people. People a lot smarter than me. Scientists and doctors in this, and they got degrees in this, but don't have the common sense that a God created what they're standing on. I did a message years ago called Big Bang or God, or both. Big Bang, God, or both. And it's both. There was a Big Bang, all right. There's no doubt about that, church. I understand that. There was definitely a Big Bang. God spoke it. God said, bang. All of a sudden, creation. You know, I'm not one of these shallow people that don't, I mean, you know, some religious folks believe there wasn't dinosaurs. I mean, really? How can you not? There's proof of that. You ever seen them bones? You ever watched the Flintstones? I mean, we know there's been dinosaurs on the earth walking. I mean, really? So absolutely, there was a moment in time when this globe of ours wasn't here. And then it was. There was a time where the waters weren't as they are now. But God divided the waters by his voice, by his word, by his command. There was a day when there was no separation of sky and ground and heaven and earth. But God spoke it and there was a separation. There was a time when there was no animal life as we know it. But God spoke the word because he's alive. And he spoke forth every winged fowl thing, every four-footed beast, and everything that swims in the sea. God spoke that word because he's alive. And then God took dust of the earth and breathed into us and made us a living soul. We are a creation of God. We were created by him and for him. That's why there's such a need. That, you know why mankind is always searching for that fix? Because God created them to have that fix in him. And so we try to find that fix in drugs, or that fix in alcohol, or that fix in relationships that are just the same old broken relationships. If I can just find that right guy, that right woman, and we go from relationship to relationship trying to find what fixes us. Because we have a desire to be happy. And the only thing that makes us happy is Jesus. As Doc sings that song, "Are you happy with me, Lord? Are you happy with me, Lord? Are you happy with me?" No. "I'm happy with you, Lord. I'm happy with you, Lord. I'm happy with you, Lord. Are you happy with me? Are you happy with..." See, we're happy in the Lord. No, maybe we don't have bad days. Church, I'm a beast some days. I'm a grouch some days. I stress out, you know. I let Kevin down. I lost my faith in the boat, and I've heard that ever since. I've let my man down because you mean you lost your faith on the boat? I lost it bad. Yes, I did. My faith got dropped 20 fathoms down. Yes. I was weak. Because you just realize how real fear can be. Now, for that same disgust Kevin has for my losing my faith, if I told him right now there's a big old 6-foot rattlesnake by his ankle laying right there on the floor, let's see how his faith would be. I'll take up vipers and handle them. Yeah. We all got our issues that will challenge our faith. That's for sure. But I'm thankful that God's faithfulness doesn't expire. My faith may expire, but God's faithfulness doesn't. And that faithfulness kept us. It keeps us every single day. Next verse, Revelations 1:18. This is Jesus speaking in Revelations 1:18. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Aren't you glad? He can't ever die again. We're not going to have a God who leaves us. People leave us. We have church hurt. We have family hurt. We have children hurt. We have friends hurt. But we'll never have God hurt, because God is alive forevermore. He was dead. Yes, he was. He was dead for 3 days. His body was in a tomb. He was dead. But on the third day, something happened. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of us. We have that everlasting power now. And because he rose, and because he is dead no more, death hath no more dominion over those that place their faith in him. I'm not going to die, church. I may not be here always, but I'm not going to die. I'll have no separation from God. I'll just simply move on to where God planned me to be in the beginning, in his bosom forevermore. I'm not going to die, though. Death is for those without Christ. I'm not going to die. I'm going just to move on. I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Aren't you glad for that? God is in charge of everything. If we could just submit to this God and say, Lord, you are alive, you are not dead, why am I living like you're not around? Why don't we talk to God more? He hears us. Talk to God. He listens to us. He's an ever-present help in our time of trouble. And God doesn't sleep. God doesn't slumber. God doesn't go on a journey. God doesn't ignore us. God is never too busy for our lives. He knows what we're battling, knows what we need, and every season is different. And every challenge is real. You know, I think about seasons in my life. I got a birthday coming up, and you know, you start getting a certain age, you start thinking about birthdays a little more as far as where you've been and where you're going. And I think about the seasons of my life and how God was so real in each of my seasons. Because see, when I was 16 years old, I needed God just as much as I do now, in a different way. But I needed him so much. When I first got married, I needed God, right? We all need God when we get married. Can I get amen? God, I need you when I get married. Then you have kids, and my Lord, you have kids. Oh, my God. I'm convinced it's easier not to have kids. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I know. Way too late. I'm sitting there thinking, my God, what have I done? Because now I've got these kids I worry about the rest of my life. Oh, my gosh. Every season changes. But every season is just as real. I understand I've got a 13-year-old still at the house. And I understand her problems are real. And her thoughts are real. And her challenges and temptations are real. And her uncertainties and fears are real. And I realize for the 85-year-old in here that you have different fears, different realities, different challenges. That when you look in the mirror and you realize, I may not have tomorrow left. What happens next? What happens to people I leave behind? Every challenge is different. And I'm thankful I have a God that's alive, that hears my prayer, that hears my plea, that hears my fear and understands me and doesn't judge me for that, but loves me through it all. God is not dead in here, church. My God is very much alive. And everything we see, this you couldn't ask for a more beautiful day today. In fact, it was so pretty. I was worried about y'all coming to church today. I've told you, I hate when the build the perfect church weather is about 55 and partly cloudy. Because it's not quite warm enough to go have fun, but it's not cold to stay inside the house, so people come out. When it gets, you know, 65, 70 degrees and it's sunny, all of a sudden, hey, we ought to go to the mountains this morning. Hey, we ought to ride the beach this morning. Hey, we ought to just go deer hunting. I mean, I guess we can't deer hunt on Sunday after 12, but is that right? Maybe. Anyway, we think of other things to go do. And so this morning was so beautiful, and I thought, oh, my gosh, nobody's going to be here today. It's so pretty. If we could realize that God cares for us, he's not some distant chant we chant out. He's not, people say, Pastor, I don't understand the Bible. I try to read it. I don't understand it. Look, just talk to God. I mean, read your Bible, yes, but talk to God. Just talk to God like you do anybody else. Talk to God. And I promise you, as you talk to him, he will answer you. You will hear words come into your inner soul that you know are formed by the mouth of God. You'll hear it. You'll know, okay, God, I hear you. When you have a problem, pray for it. You have an issue, you don't know what to do, pray for it. God, the tomb is empty. He's risen, and he lives inside of us. And I am thankful. The generation starving for that. Looking, is there a God that can help me? Because, Pastor, you don't know what I've done and where I've been and the sins of my life. It doesn't matter. Church, it doesn't matter. We don't get cleaned up first. We can't get cleaned up first. We come to God like we are and let God begin to work on our lives and begin to transform us into his image. Too much pressure put on instant salvation that we got to be perfect. No, you don't. There's a lot of people that aren't perfect after they're saved. Well, everybody's not perfect after they're saved. But we still have challenges. If you don't know God today as being a living God in you, you can know him. He is very much alive. I love when I can feel God's presence coming in my life, usher into a room. And there's moments that sometimes I'll feel God move on me just in a moment. I was taking Ashley to school the other morning. She didn't even know this happened. But there was a song come on, K-Love. We were on our way to school. I'm listening to radio, and a song comes on. And I just felt, I'm driving. She's reading her little tablet. She reads all the time. And she's reading her tablet, a book or something, her tablet. And a song comes on, and immediately I felt God's presence hit me. And I even teared up, like, for, like, just a second. I teared up and felt God's presence. And then I just, you know, it kind of went on, and I kept driving. But I had that instant touch of just God, just that quick. Ashley never knew what happened. You know why? Because my God's alive. He's living. And he lives through me. Marge, come on up and play something in closing. Very simple this morning, church. You want God to be your God? You want the one I preached about to be? God knows what he's doing. And for your friend, that was her moment of exit for him to say, time for you to rise. And she did. She rose. She rose. Went to be with the Lord. Bow your heads with me for a minute, if you will. Let's pray in closing this morning. Lord, for every person in this room this morning, from old to young, from children to senior citizens in here, Lord, you know the hearts of every person sitting in this room. And Lord, there may be some sitting here that have not asked you, come to you and says, Lord, yes, I hear your voice. I hear you calling my name, and I'm tired of running. I'm tired of resisting, and I want this to be the day that I can call you my Lord. I pray they receive this message today, and they know that they have a God with them, that they're not alone, that you want to call them into your bosom, that you want to hold them, you want to breathe new life into them this morning. They don't have to leave this place today the same way they came in. They may have walked in feeling alone, feeling like, where's the answer? Who's the answer? What's the answer? And they've heard this message this morning, and they realize, yes, Lord, you are the answer. You can do far above, exceedingly more than I could ever do myself or what man could ever do for me. Let your presence fill this room right now. Let your mercy and grace touch every heart that needs a touch. Let our children, let our young people know there's a living God for them, and that God, you're not looking at their works list of all they've done wrong. You're not checking off of every bad deed they've done. You just simply are wanting them to be yours, saying, son, daughter, I love you. I love you. I love you like you are. I created you for a purpose higher than what you're living in, a purpose greater than where you're at. I called you for more. I called you for more. Hear that word this morning. Hear that word, son or daughter. I called you for more. Live more than what you're living for. Live in more than what you have in the past. There's a greater destiny for you than where you've been. I pray this prayer, Lord, that people just call upon you even as we sit here and just say, Jesus, help me. Help me, Father. Help me be what you want me to be. I believe there's one way unto salvation, one way into truth, and that is you, Lord. I believe that. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Sing a little something there, Margie.
He is love. Every time.
come to the altar before we close and talk to God for a minute, please do that. We're on a time schedule here. If you got to go, I understand that. But we're not going to push anybody out the door if God is moving. The altar is open. If you want to spend a few minutes with God, come right now when she sings this song. Talk to him.
He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ.
So thankful, Lord, you're alive in us. We are so thankful our future is secure in you, that we don't have to fear what's around us or what is coming toward us. We don't have to fear about this nation or what politics hold ahead. For we are not part of this worldly system, but we have been transformed into the kingdom of the dear Son, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you're our Lord, you're our president, you're our leader, you're above all, you're in all, you're through all. We just read that all things, every dominion, every power, every throne was created by you. Thank you, Father, that we know who the true King is and who the true Lord is. And we give you thanks for being our Lord and our Savior in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.